You'll turn to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1. As we turn to Luke chapter 1 this morning, we want to be preparing for Christmas. That's what we want to talk about. As we prepare for Christmas, I was trying to see what was going on with our slides up there. As we prepare for Christmas, we want to remember that God accomplishes all of His plans. I don't know about you, but Christmas time should be a time of peace on earth, a time of joy, a time of merry, or a time of cheer. But sometimes the busyness that comes along with Christmas, the things that are out of our control sometimes that seem to surround the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, sometimes just kind of robs us of our joy. It does me. I don't know about you. You know, it might be things going on in our life. It's just out of our control. We can't do nothing about. Might be sick. Something kind of going on that we're fighting with a health issue, and the doctors might not be able to pinpoint it, or every time we think we're over it, that cough might come back, or something going on there. We got ailments and aches and pains and things going on, or we got a loved one that we are caregiver for that we're trying to help. We might have family members that, you know, honestly, Christmas is a time that we're supposed to enjoy being around family. But, you know, sometimes we just got that one person or two people that we kind of dread. You know, we know that something's going to be going on there. We might have, a child or a grandchild that has gone astray. It is just always these things that are out of our control. And as we come to Luke this morning in chapter 1, verse 5, as we come there, we see that even when things is out of our control, that God still has a plan. God still has a plan for His people, and God will accomplish His plans. And so as we want to prepare for a time of year that we should be giving thanks to God, that we should be anticipating the presence of God, because that's what Christmas is about. God came from heaven to earth and dwelt among humanity. God put on flesh, the person of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, walked among us. Scripture says He tabernacled among us, lived among us. As we think about the presence of God, the easiest way, I believe, to prepare for Christmas would be prepare others to meet God. Prepare others for the coming day of the Lord. So let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, we just ask that You help us prepare differently this year. It's so much in these few verses here, Lord, that it can be preached so many ways. I pray today that we use our time wisely and just look at a few things here, Lord, that would help us better celebrate the birth of Christ, better participate in Your plan, and better prepare others for the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to verse 5, we see that it says, in the day of Herod. Herod was a king. He was the king of Judea. Judea is talking about the nation of Israel there. It's under Roman rule. As you think about the king Herod, we see that in Luke verses 1 through 4, Luke's already explained to us there that he's going to give us an accurate account of what's going on. He wants us to know the truth that we believe in, the truth that we're taught, the truth that we have. So as he begins here in the days of Herod, the king, he doesn't tell us much about this king, but we do know this from historians. Herod was not actually a Jew. He had converted, or his family had, decades before, had converted to Judaism. And then, by being able to marry well, he had married a royal Jewish family. When Rome took control, he had been appointed as king. So he's not actually a king. Now, we know from the close of the Old Testament that God's people are anticipating all God's plans, all God's promises to come true. God keeps His promises. Amen? You believe that? And they are expecting, they're waiting on God's king, God's Messiah. So in just one clause right here, we understand that things is not going the way the people want them to. Amen? So as we prepare people for Christmas, the first thing we need to understand is that God expects us to participate in His plan, even when things are not going our way. We need to participate in God's plan even when they look like they're out of control. It says here that there was a priest named Zacharias. Zacharias, it says here, was of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So we know that Zacharias is of the priestly order, and his wife is also of the priestly order, that he is a priest. The priest, we know from 1 Chronicles, that, and also we understand that in Exodus, that they were divided into 24 groups or 24 families, which was the descendants of Aaron. And as they are divided here, what happens is five times a year, these priests would go to Jerusalem. You had three feasts a year, and then twice a year, they would a priest, his family was chosen to go to Jerusalem and to be in service of the Lord, to participate in the Lord's plan for them. So we see here that Zacharias is in Jerusalem. He is fulfilling his service to the Lord. And verse 6 says that they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blameless in the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in their years. So we see here that there's something going on. There's some uncertainty. There's some things out of their control. Things have not happened the way they wanted them to. And also, there's some social disgrace going on here. You know, the Old Testament Jewish thought was that if you are barren or without children, it is punishment from God. We understand as we look back through Scripture, we can see in Leviticus that if the man is not living according to God's plan, what God planned for marriage to be, sometimes that causes them to lack a descendant, not to have any children if they're living outside of God's plan for marriage. Also, we see that when a woman is not fulfilling her duties to the Lord the way she should, that a lot of times she's barren. But what we've got to understand in the context of the Old Testament is that Elizabeth and Zacharias also represent Israel as a nation here. Israel as being barren. Israel is not fulfilling the promises that God has for them. They have not walked according to Him. But we see here also in verse 6 that there is something going on in their lives. Some of God's promises have not yet been fulfilled in their lives, but it's not because of their sin. Luke makes a point to tell us before their that we see this social disgrace, these people pointing their fingers at them. I mean, have you ever had anybody look at you like, well, it's your fault this happened to you. If you'd been living better for God, these things might not have happened to you. This couple had actually not done anything that was against God's will, but God's promises hadn't been fulfilled to them. Now, how many times do we think that just because God hadn't answered our prayers, maybe it's because I've done something wrong? Maybe it's because I'm not good enough. Maybe it's because I'm not doing everything God wants me to. You know, when we don't know what God wants us to do next, what we need to do is keep doing what we've been doing if we know it's in God's will. Have you been obedient to God's word? Have you been praying? Have you been communicating with God? Have you been serving God by serving others the way God wants you to? If so, sometimes we just need to continue participating in what we're doing until God fulfills the plans He has for us. It was not because they were doing anything wrong. It says there's righteous in the sight of God, walking blameless. Righteous means they was in right standing with God. Walking blameless means that their behavior were in line with God's commandments and the requirements of the Lord. And verse 8 tells us that It happened about while he was performing his priestly duty service before the Lord in the appointed order of the division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. Now this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There's like 24 families, about 1,000 priests in each family, and there's certain things that you only get to do one time. Carrying the incense into the holy place was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because it was so many people chosen to do this. How was they chosen? By lots. We don't understand a lot about lots except for it's something similar to a dice. There are different kinds, different colors. You cast them out, and the Lord makes his choices by these lots, the way they fall. And it happened to fall to Zacharias. So Zacharias is chosen to do something that is very honorable. He's going to take the incense into the Holy of Holies. He has two assistants with him. They take the coals. They put the coals in the pan. They go in with him as he gets in there. Then they come back out. He puts the incense on the coals. The incense start to burn. As they start to burn, he will prostrate himself out on the ground, on the floor there, and he will be praying to the Lord. He'll bring the prayers of the people into the holy place right outside the Holy of Holies. And as the people are outside in the court, it says here that the people were standing right outside and that they were praying. As the smoke goes up from the incense, that is to give you a symbol or a picture of the prayers going up before God as a sweet aroma before him. Now, so as Zacharias gets this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to in his service to the Lord, we see in verse 10 that the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. So this was probably, it's two prayer times a day, morning and evening, with the people gathered out. This is probably the evening prayer or the prayer at the ninth hour. And as he is in there, we see that the angel of the Lord appeared to him. So as we prepare for Christmas this year, I'd say that we need to continue participating in God's plan. We need to be faithful to God. We need to plan our social and family activities around God's plan, around the person of Jesus Christ, around our faith. Keep participating by being in faithful service to the Lord. You may pray with your family, read some scripture with your family. Set aside a time to do some of the things that the Lord plans for you to do as a family instead of worrying about all the commercialism of Christmas. And as you participate in God's plan, you need to also pray without fear. Pray without fear. You know, we all anticipate something happening at Christmas that's going to make us uncomfortable. Or is that just me? Does anybody else feel that way at Christmas? There's always either not enough money in the checkbook, too many bills in the mailbox after Christmas. There's always something going on that we have to deal with. There's something that didn't come in, a gift we wanted to get. There's something that we didn't get to say to somebody or something that we said last year that we regret. But whatever it is, we can pray without fear. Because here in the context, we see Zacharias is praying. All the people are outside praying. They're praying for the priest, the peace of Israel. They're praying for God's Messiah to come. They got a king ruling them who's ruling them under Rome. They are being oppressed. They're being taxed. And all the monies that they're being taxed for are being used to build temples and other shrines to other gods beside Yahweh, their God. Nothing's going according to their plan. They are praying for redemption. They're praying for deliverance. They're praying for the peace of God to come with his king to save them. And as they are praying, and Zacharias is in the temple praying, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing right in front of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, fear gripped him. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." When we ask the Lord to bless us, when we ask the Lord to answer our prayers, what happens sometimes that causes these prayers to go unanswered or to be postponed? Sometimes I think it's fear. You know, sometimes we just fear that God hasn't heard our prayers. I have people say all the time, "I feel like my prayers don't get past the ceiling. God hasn't heard them." The angel of the Lord here tells Zacharias in verse 13, "Your petition has been heard." God's heard your prayer. So sometimes I think we need to pray without fear that God doesn't hear our prayers. Because when God delays answering our prayers sometimes, it does not mean that God has said no. It just means God told us to wait. Wait to the perfect time. You know, sometimes God's going to give us what we've asked for, but if we get it too soon, we use it for the wrong purposes. Amen? God is waiting for everything to fit into His plan. And sometimes we fear when we pray because we fear our prayers are impossible. We fear that God can't answer our prayers. It's no way this can happen. This is too messed up. This is too messed up for even God to fix. What can happen? But here the angel tells Zacharias that nothing is impossible. He says, "For your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." The name John actually means gracious. And so it'll be a gracious gift from God. "Your petition has been heard." I believe that Zacharias was praying here for the nation, for God's coming Messiah. But also, I'm not sure if he's praying here for a son since they've already got old and advanced in days. But he has prayed for a son or prayed for an offspring in the past. And sometimes we need to remember that God has heard our prayers, even if it was a long time ago when we prayed them. You know, sometimes we keep praying and asking God to help us, and when God hasn't answered us yet, we just kind of give up on that prayer. But isn't it amazing when a prayer from last year gets answered this year? And this is what happens. Zacharias' name means God remembers. God just showed Zacharias that he remembers his prayers. God also shows him that when he answers prayers, a lot of times he waits till it seems impossible. You know why? We need to understand how helpless we are. You know, sometimes we have got it all figured out how to fix what's broken in our life. And so we say, "God, I just need a better job. Lord, I just need a little overtime. Or Lord, I just need to get along with my family a little better. Or Lord, I just need a new car or a new tire. Or Lord, I just need some rest." But sometimes the Lord waits till we say, "Lord, I just need help. I can't do this anymore. This is impossible. I've run out of ideas." And then God answers our prayer. And this is what happened here. Elizabeth and Zacharias had got so old that the chance of having a child was impossible. And God says, "But guess what? I'm ready to answer your prayer now." Now, this should remind Zacharias of all that's going on in the Old Testament with Abraham and Sarah, and also with Isaac and Rebekah, when it seemed humanly impossible for God's promises to be fulfilled. That's when God answered their prayers. And for us, it's the same way. And we need to share that with other people during Christmas. As you talk to people at Christmas time, and it is a time of lost hope sometimes around Christmas. You see people and they downtrodden, their hope is all gone, and you say, "Look, Zacharias and Elizabeth had lost all hope that they would have a son. But like Abraham, their hope was against hope. When all human hope is gone, you need to hope in the Lord. Because God answers prayers even when they seem impossible." As we continue to look at what else is going on here, we can see that God not only answers prayers that seem impossible, that we also need to remember that God hears our prayers, but also that God does the greatest work in our lives for His glory. He says here that you will name him John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. The joy and the gladness that comes from answered prayers is seeing that God is working in your life, that you're participating in his plan. He tells us here why they will be happy, why many will rejoice. It says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. In other words, John will be great in God's estimate of things, not in the world's estimate of things. Sometimes when God gives us a gift, we need to look at it from God's viewpoint, not from the world's. Sometimes we look at it from the world's viewpoint, and we're like, well, this is all right. But when we look at things the way God looks at them, we can say, no, this is a great gift that God's going to use for a great purpose. He says he'll be great in the Lord's sight. He will drink no wine or liquor, for he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's in his mother's womb. How great a gift would it be to know that you was going to have a child that will always be guided by the Holy Spirit, put in service for God, and God will always use him even before he cries with his first breath. In other words, he is taking a vow here of the Nazarite, just like Samson did. It is a dedication to God for his whole life. He will be controlled by the Spirit of God instead of by the things of this world. And that is a great gift. That is a reason for rejoicing. How often does God give us a gift and we say, Lord, help me use this gift for your will and your will alone? How often does God bless us with something? The first thing we do is run off and just use it for our own fun and for the things we think that we will enjoy. And then before you know it, it's kind of like that toy on Christmas morning. We just set it on the shelf and don't use it no more. Have you ever had a gift like that? But if we look at every gift that we get from God and think about God has got a purpose for that gift and ask ourselves, how can we use this for God's glory and our good? It will bring us joy and gladness, and we'll keep using it instead of filling up a storage building with it. That is what we see here, is this promise that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. In other words, this person coming like Elijah, the new Elijah, the last time God spoke to the people, he promised them that the next time he spoke, it would be through one like Elijah, a new Elijah. It's been 400 years of silence. Zacharias is in the temple. He's going to pray, and he's not expecting to hear anything from God. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord stands before him and tells him that you will be the father of the new Elijah. He will turn God's people back to God. Can you imagine this excitement that is coming in his life as he thinks about this child? He'll be a forerunner of the Lord. He will turn fathers, in verse 17, back to their children, and disobedient attitudes to the righteous, so that he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That is our call. As we prepare for Christmas, we ought to prepare people to be ready for God's coming. We ought to prepare people to acknowledge that God still controls things even when this earth looks like it's out of control. That God sent his Son, our Lord Jesus, who took on humanity, lived the life that we should have lived, died the death that we deserved, was buried, and was raised. Jesus conquered sin and death. And now he gives new life to all who believes in him. We should prepare their way. Now I want to take time right here just to mention this. When you saying, I know what you're thinking. Preacher, you always want us to witness. You always want us to tell people about Jesus. I want you to think about how this was for John the Baptist. The Old Testament saw the coming day of the Lord in one event. The Lord comes, he judges evil, he wipes out evil, and he blesses the righteous. But what they didn't understand and failed to grasp, but over and over God warned them that there's none righteous, no, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. Together we've all turned aside and become useless. There's none who does righteousness, not even one. Christ come to be the righteousness that we failed to be. And when Christ was buried and resurrected and returned to heaven, guess what? Christ is coming back. Now, as we see this morning, and Luke is saying, look, you need to prepare. John the Baptist, this is the greatest opportunity. This is what's really going to make you happy. If you want to be happy this Christmas, you need to prepare people for the Lord, because guess what? Jesus Christ is coming back, and this time he's coming back to judge. And you say, well, preacher, how do you know he's coming back? Because he came the first time. The first time he came in a manger. He left by a cross. The next time he's coming on a white horse, and written on his thigh is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We need to prepare people that time is running out. There is a shortness to the end times. We need to let people know that you need to turn your hearts back to the Lord. You need to believe in him. You know the best way to stop this chaos we see on the news every morning, this unrest, these riots, these fightings? Turn hearts back to God, and that will turn the father's hearts to the children's and the children's back to the father's. Peace in the family will never happen until the family has peace with God. And that's the purpose of this. Well, you say, well, preacher, how did I get that peace? You say, Lord, I'm not at peace. Lord, I need you to take these burdens from me. Lord, I need you to show me how to pray. Show me how to participate in your plan. And lastly, show me how to praise your plan before it's complete. Now, here's what happened. Zacharias has been serving the Lord. He's been walking rightly with the Lord, blamelessly. He's been participating in what the Lord wants to do. He's been praying. And now he says, God is going to answer my prayers. And he asked the angel this. How do I know? How do I know? I need a little proof. I need something here before this son is born. I need to know. How do I know this for sure, for certain? Luke wants us to know as certain because God has spoke it. Here, he says the reason he's uncertain is because he's an old man and his wife is advanced in the years. Now, this is very smart here, right? It's the best thing to do, men. I'll give you all this. This is free this morning. Don't call your wife old, right? You can say she's advanced in years. The angel answered to him and said, look, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, verse 19, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Now, Gabriel, Zacharias, being a priest, understanding the Old Testament, will know that this is the Gabriel that stood with Daniel. In Daniel chapter 8 and chapter 9, this is Gabriel who speaks for God. This is Gabriel who explains God's instructions and prophecy to Daniel. And now Gabriel says, I have come to bring you this good news. You want a sign? Here's your sign. You ain't going to talk till God fulfills this promise to you. You know, sometimes we get so busy talking we can't hear God talk. And God speaks to us and tells us what he wants us to do. And we go, oh, wait a minute. But Lord, sometimes the Lord just has to shut our mouth so we can hear him finish talking. Amen. And here he says, here's your sign. You're not going to be able to tell everybody how happy you are. You're not going to be able to tell everybody what's going on until it's already taken place. And then what? They'll believe you and you'll believe too. So he says that these things will be fulfilled in their proper time. We need to remember that even when we haven't seen God's plan completely fulfilled, we still need to give him praise for what he's doing. Does God give us a promise? Yes. Guess what? We need to remember God keeps his promises. As we see his promises partially fulfilled, we ought to go ahead and start praising him. Look what Elizabeth does. It says when his time was fulfilled, that he went home to Elizabeth. And I'm assuming, since she become with child, that he must have told her what the angel had said. He had to write it down. Had to write down what the Lord had promised him. But it says that she became pregnant and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. Now, we'll fast forward a little bit because I know you want to know why she stayed hid. Because the first person that she's going to tell is Mary, because John is filled with the Holy Spirit in her stomach. And when Mary walks in, John leaps. And when John leaps, she says, "Blessed be, there's my Lord. There's the mother of my Lord." She's proclaiming God's Son, God's Messiah. God's promises are fulfilled. But here it says she stays secluded for 5 months. And it says, verse 25, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me." She says, look, in my old days, God has fulfilled the promises to me. And she says, he has taken away my disgrace. You know, when we praise the Lord, our disgrace, social disgrace, can be removed before his plan is fully realized. God hadn't brought about everything he had promised her, yet she was praising God, and it says, he's taken away my disgrace. Did you know that nobody else in the town knew that God had answered her prayers? But she knew it, and she went ahead and picked her head up and held her head high. Hey, when we ask in God to answer our prayers, just because they have not come to completion doesn't mean we can't go ahead and start living like he's already answered them. You know what that's called? Faith. Lord, today I'm going to live like you've already answered my prayers. So as we close this morning, I just want to ask, are you willing to help prepare others for the coming day of the Lord? I want to ask this, and it's nothing to be embarrassed about when I asked you to raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, don't be embarrassed. I just want to ask you two questions. First of all, have you ever led anyone to Jesus? If you have, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Second question, do you want to lead somebody to Jesus? Everybody that wants to lead somebody to Jesus, raise your hand. Amen. If you want to lead somebody to Jesus, the first thing we have to do is ask the Lord to let us participate in his plan. Lord, let me participate in your plan. Lord, I believe it's impossible that I could even do this. You know, when the Lord does his best work is when it looks impossible to us. Lord, I've never led anybody to the Lord. I believe it's almost impossible. I don't know the right things to say. Lord, help me lead somebody to the Lord. And then say, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and start celebrating over the person I've been praying for. I'm going to pick three people and write their name down. And I'm asking you, Lord, to let me share your salvation with them this Christmas. Let me tell somebody about you. And then pray that you see them come to salvation. And when they do, you praise God. Because this morning, that's what we're doing with baptism. Because Marlo accepted God, when we do baptism, that is a celebration. We praise in God for saving him, but we're also praising God for the work he's going to do through Marlo that we have not seen yet. And that is the purpose of baptism. So let us bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know peace with God, we're always going to be at odds with the world, but if you know that something's not right in your life, that you're not living God's way, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm not living life your way. I believe you died for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me. Take control of my life and help me live in peace with you. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a long time, and you might even think, hey, I've done got a little advanced in years, and I've done a lot for the Lord, and really there's not much else I can do. The Lord wants you to still be participating in preparing people for his coming. You need to just say, Lord, help me share the gospel with somebody this year. Lord, between now and the end of the year, Lord, let me see somebody come to faith in you. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Kind Father, thank you for this day and this blessed occasion. We ask now that you just guide, direct us, be with us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Marlo if he'll come down.